Danilana Kitchen talks about food. Danilana Kitchen talks recipes. Danilana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on
Community Radio.
Welcome to the Danilana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We get together here once a week at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. We gather around our kitchen table. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions, and we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Danilana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, practicalfarmers.org.
Thank you to them. Thank you to you, our listener, for joining us today. As we mentioned, KHOI is a community radio station. Kind of may sound a little different to you because we really are. We are local people doing local things. And granted, I'm sure people all over the world are interested in what's happening right here in Ames, Iowa. The idea that we can actually get on the radio and tell our own stories is a real fine and special thing. You can support this fine radio station because that's what makes us go around here. Go to khoifm.org. Find out lots more about us. There's the Danilana Kitchen Show, but there's a lot of other great local programming and national programming, too. You can support this radio station. There's a magic donate button there. So, I think we survived the Thanksgiving weekend, okay? Well, I mean, we probably gathered with friends and family and ate great quantities of good food.
However, I call it the butter holiday.
Oh,
yeah, because nice. I noticed in the cooking, everything, I just kept putting butter in. You know, it's except for the salad dressing, it is not an olive oil holiday. It's a
no,
butter holiday.
That's true. That's true. The Italians did not land with the pilgrims. I don't think they came from there. They came from butter country, probably. And, yes, thinking of it as
a
butter
holiday. We come from butter country.
Yeah, we do, too. And it is a good time to celebrate there. However, my goodness, after the holidays, winter sort of slapped us upside the head. Although here in central Iowa, in
somehow,
a little farther north,
it didn't get us.
We missed it. We got lots of cold, lots of wind. But, oh, dear, to those people that had to travel south of central Iowa and into Chicago. And
In case no one has noticed, we have no snow here. Well, seems like everywhere to the east and the west and the south of us, but we have no snow. We just have Christmas carols playing in every possible public space.
I'm a real sucker for Christmas carols. I sing along. I can be insufferable like that. And granted, for some it may be a little early, but I think we are into the Christmas season.
Well, I think it's fair game after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Anything before that seems a little bit obscene, you know.
We have to get those jack-o'-lanterns off the front porch anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. They just don't make the transition very well. Okay. So here's a little thought about Christmas trees. For the past 104 years, Story City, Iowa has been doing something wonderful to celebrate their Christmas holiday. They call it Yule Fest, and they kicked it off this past week. They've been doing it since 1914. They put up a big Christmas tree, like, 30, 40 feet, a big Christmas tree. And they put it up right in the middle of Main Street, right at the intersection, right downtown. And they tie it off there. It is so nice to drive up there. And it makes you realize, yes, you should slow down a little bit. There is this huge lighted Christmas tree right in the middle of the street. Yes, you can still get around it, but
right, they still have very broad main streets.
They do.
And
yeah.
Actually, it's a very wide intersection. Yeah. Like, not unlike a lot of other small towns in my childhood, this used to be a rather commonplace. This is what we did.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to happen very much anymore. So good for Story City.
It is. They've been putting up that tree for 104 years. And I read this in the paper. Where else do you find this? But when they first put it up, on December 14th in 1914, it was lit for the first time with 250 electric lights, noted that they were lights of different colors, and it was quite the talk of Iowa at the time that someone would put up something so extravagant and so new age techie. Ooh. As lights outside and in the middle of the road. Anyway, that's a nice thing. So it is officially the Christmas season. There is a tree up in the middle of Main Street in Story City, Iowa. Oh, let's think some holiday thoughts. Today we're going to be thinking of some holiday recipes, some of those kind of recipes that you might want to start early.
Right.
There are things that you could.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's fruitcake time.
I like fruitcake.
Me
do
too.
Tell.
Me
do
too.
Tell.
Well, but I like a homemade fruitcake. Now, I'm going to start off with this little caveat that if you're just going to go to the grocery store and buy those pieces of what they're called candied fruit in the little plastic jar, you will end up with the kind of fruitcake that everyone makes jokes about. But, you know, that is a traditional flavor, and if that's your thing, go for it. However, it's probably easier to just buy one if that's what you're going to do. But if you want to make something a little,
tasty?
Yeah. I like kind of all manner of fruitcakes. I grew up with them and all the jokes that come with them. But making a really good fruitcake is quite fun. Now, my favorite recipe is from The Joy of Cooking, and it's called Fruitcake Cocaigne. That's spelled C-O-C-K-A-I-G-N-E. But it's a lighter colored fruitcake. But what really makes the difference in the fruitcake is the fruits and nuts that you put in. So for me, making my own candied orange peel completely makes the difference. And you can use it in a lot of other things. Like I may drop some into my fudge, which I always make, or just candied orange peel. Oh, goodness. Cut up and put on top of a muffin. It's like, to me, it's like the essence of Christmas. And you can do orange or grapefruit, lately they've had those Buddha's hands, although I made some of that, and it doesn't have – it's not really what's called a citron. A citron is kind of another fruit, but you can't seem to find it here in Ames.
Buddha hand is a fruit.
Right. And for a while
– odd-looking little thing.
Some people call them citron, but I have made – a citron peel from something I found in California when I had access to wild varieties of citrus, which we don't have here. So I did try making the Buddha hand one from Ames, and I wasn't impressed. So it was not worth it.
Well,
I would say stick to your lemons, your oranges, and your grapefruits. But if you're going to make a fruitcake, the assortment of nuts that you pick, like I am not terribly fond of Brazil nuts, although people almost always put them in. I find them a little too chunky. I prefer like pecans and walnuts and then raisins. You know, if you just pick your own assortment of fruits and nuts and then adding in that one homemade orange peel or citrus peel, it just makes a huge difference. So the fruitcake recipe, which I'm just going to send you to The Joy of Cooking for, they have all about fruitcakes. They have a whole section on it. And I think any old batter would be fine. If they also have a dark fruitcake, a white fruitcake, the main thing is your selection of fruits and nuts. I like to put, for example, dried tart cherries. Some people, of course, put cranberries, which are a little certainly less expensive and probably easier to find. And they do add that you want these bright tart notes in it. That's kind of, picks it up from the ordinary.
Yes, you can find good quality good quality dried fruit. I mean, the kind of fruit that you would like to eat anyway.
Right.
Put that in. Because I've often wondered, how in the world do they get those little candied, where in the world do they get that color green? It's just kind of over the top. It really is.
It's not real. Sorry. and you can add candied ginger if you want to go that direction. I mean, you know, kind of customize your flavors. And then, of course, if you really now, my fruitcakes taste good without adding the brandy. But if you make them early and you want to wrap them in cheesecloth.
Yeah, when do you add that brandy? Not before you cook it. No.
You bake the cake and then you let it cool off and then you wrap it in cheesecloth and then you soak the cheesecloth in brandy.
Ah.
Basically. And then wrap it up in foil and you can open it up in another week and soak it again, you know, and you can also...
And what, keep it in the refrigerator or keep it in the back porch or keep it...
Fairly cool. I think I just leave it in the pantry. I haven't done that part for a few years. I would research that a bit. But the brandy is a preservative. Yeah. So,
but this is the time of year when the cold part of the house becomes really
cold.
When it becomes handy, you can put things there. You know, make things ahead and put them there. So tell us how to make
candied citrus peel.
Citrus. Yes.
Well, I would also refer you to The Joy of Cooking for this. But the idea is basically, I juice my citrus first and save the juice. Some people just boil it up and throw it all away, but I pull the juice, particularly with oranges. And then when I'm, you boil the peel, throw away the water, boil the peel, throw away the water, boil the peel, throw away the water. And then when it gets soft, then you cut it into the strips that you want. And then you start boiling it with... water and sugar.
Oh, then you could put back
then
in.
Then I put the juice,
back in.
And less water, because that does, that does give you just that little bit more amount of flavor, which you will need from an orange that's traveled halfway across the country to arrive in Ames, Iowa. So, and I have been known also, and I've forgotten where I buy them, but there are like essential oils of orange and grapefruit. The lime ones I'm not so crazy about, but who makes candied lime peel anyway? Maybe there would be things that would be interesting for. But sometimes I shake a few drops of the citrus oil into the mixture as it's boiling down. Just to you want to get as much flavor as you can back into that citrus peel.
And the idea of boiling and throwing away is to get the orange peels so they're chewable, right?
Yes, and it does take some of the bitterness out of it, too.
Oh, the bitterness is actually quite nice. But, yes, you have to take some of the bitterness out and make them...
And it makes it so you can... Because on the peel, you want to scrape away as much of the pith as you can, the white inside. So you're ending up really with a peel. So, and, of course, I always buy organic citrus simply because... You are eating the whole damn thing, So, and some commercial citrus, though not all, and it's hard to tell, is coated with a wax. So you don't really want that. Of course, boiling it and throwing the water and boiling it and throwing the water will eliminate certainly the waxes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But,
Oh, and then after it's... Well, okay, so you end up with boiled, thrown away, and then reduce.
It the way you want it.
Reduce.
Right. Then you put in the water and the sugar and if you're using the orange juice, you want to reduce the amount of water because you have to boil that down again till it's really, really sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're supposed to roll it in powdered sugar. Now, this is where... A silicone baking sheet called a Silpat comes in really handy. And this is true for all kinds of candy making, like nut brittles, which we will get to in a later edition. That's another wonderful Christmas thing. But you have that silicone baking sheet on your cookie sheet. So when you spread the sticky pieces of citrus peel out and you roll them in powdered sugar, sometimes I dry them also a little further in a slow oven. Just depends. humidity makes a huge difference. And, you know, you want them to eventually be dry enough that they're not, like, all clumped together.
Ah.
But it's something you can do with children of a certain age. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives you a base for all kinds of Christmas confections that are decidedly handmade.
The taste of candied citrus peel is really, really good, especially when you dip one end of it in chocolate.
Yeah. I'm actually a big fan of grapefruit, too.
Oh.
And lemon is very nice. Lemon and orange are very nice in fruitcakes.
Ah. Now, I have made candied orange peels before, and I think, well, no, I don't know if I'll make it again because I really like them, but they are worth the fuss. It's a fuss, but it's not the
worst fuss. I don't know. For some reason, fuss. I don't mind doing it.
Ah, see?
I like it.
It's good.
I think I'm going to do it this year.
Good. So the fruitcake recipe from Joy of Cooking, and Joy of Cook has got lots of good information on it. Also, I would like to draw your attention to, there's a spicy fruitcake recipe on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show recipe page.
Yes, that Lana has done.
Now, that one doesn't call for soaking it in any kind of liqueur or liquor or anything, because it comes out so dense with nuts and fruit that there almost isn't any cake to the fruitcake, although they call it a fruitcake. It is a fruitcake, but it's just good. What makes that good is that it's kind of held together with honey. I got that from a Mediterranean cookbook long, long time ago. And so you can look for the Donna Lana Kitchen Show on khoifm.org. Go to our recipe page. It's spicy fruit cake.
There is a technique also for putting brandy or whatever you want in the fruitcake, which is not just wrapping it in the cheesecloth and the foil soaked, but you also puncture it either with a toothpick or a skewer, making little holes, and then you kind of drip, drip, drip the alcohol into each place that you've, which it might work on your heavy loaf one kind of thing, too. Should you find the need to have brandy in all of the fruitcakes?
Or you could have a little glass on the side.
Absolutely.
Yes, one could.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like fruitcake. I like fruitcake. A little dab will do you as far as fruitcake is concerned. Good. So, we're talking about gathering and recipes that we make for the holidays. You recently had a gathering at your house, and I have to commend you for having a very elegant repast of.
Ho, ho.
So tell me what you did.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
you had a crowd.
My food service professional just came right out there.
I love this idea.
This
is a great idea for a crowd.
So we were doing, it was part of the fundraiser for KHOI, and I had originally envisioned 25 people in my house. And turns out it was 50, and I was going, whoa, boy, oh boy, we got to get really efficient here. And I'm not one for making lots of little canopies, and it's just, like, tedious, right? Especially since I don't have a whole troop of kitchen help, you know, like,
well, you
assembling.
Don't have staff?
No, and the elves didn't come and help me either. So I devised, and I thought, okay, it's going to be cold. It's going to be, like, you know, 8 o'clock or 9 in the evening, people are going to need something.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, of course, the wine and the beer. And then we did a little apple cider lemon punch that was the non-alcoholic. And then we did have biscottis and someone brought brownies. So we had the sweets and the bar. That was in one room. But in the kitchen, what I did was I decided I would give a cup of soup. And the soup had to be viscous enough that you could just serve it in a teacup so that we didn't need spoons and people could walk around with their teacups. So I did, it was kind of like your traditional tomato soup, right? A la Campbell's that everyone loves.
Oh, it was
cream of tomato.
Okay. But there it was.
I started with a base of squash. You could also do sweet potatoes too. You don't want it to dominate because you don't want squash soup and sweet potato. So I just started with some squash and then I added milk, and then I added tomato paste, and then I added, fresh dried from the garden, both lovage and basil and salt and pepper, and a little bit of Aleppo pepper to give it some heat. So just adding those herbs to the basic tomato-y kind of feeling made it just that little bit special. So we had the soup in the crock pot on one table with all of the teacups. And then, of course, what do you need with tomato soup? A grilled cheese sandwich, right? So, of course, I was not going to stand there and grill cheeses all night long. But I decided we could have an open-faced melted cheeses. So we kind of set this up in advance. So we had trays, cookie sheets, and of course, I have a lot of cookie sheets. I mean, no kitchen is complete without at least a dozen cookie sheets, right?
It's the holidays.
Well, you know, you can use them for everything.
Yeah.
So I created a mayonnaise base. I used a whole grain square bread, not too chewy, not too soft, but to give it a little body. And then I made a mayonnaise. So I just took your regular, Hellman's or something like that, just normal mayonnaise. I added some lemon for tang, and then I put in Lana's red pepper jelly.
Oh, good use for that.
It was perfect.
Good tang.
It was really, really perfect. So I did that, and so it was a one-sided sandwich, so you just put the mayonnaise down. Then I put, I think, a slice of, provolone and Swiss, right? And then so we melt them in the oven, and then we cut them into little triangles. Then we put some fresh sprouts. I think I used lemon basil, which you can get through Lee's Greens at Farm to Folk. We do have a very good local sprout grower.
Even this time of year.
Yes,
how
absolutely.
Nice.
And it's a lovely garnish. And I put on top of it, before the sprouts, what's that? Oh, the salt liquor's allium salt.
Oh, yes.
I know. It just worked. And it was so easy. It was like, throw it in the oven, cut it up, put it on the platters, around it went, and everybody had a good time. So that is a fairly easy thing to do for a crowd.
And get this, it was warm, it was nice, it was welcoming. No silverware. It was so nice.
Right, it was all finger food. All finger
very
food.
Good. People could help themselves.
Napkins, yes, but yeah.
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 Very good. So that's thinking of warm gatherings, even when twice as many people show up as
what you planned
for.
Right, they didn't need plates either. It was all just cups and wine glasses.
Very good.
So the cleanup was not that difficult.
Oh, wonderful. Planning for a crowd, make it easy on yourself. Wayne, even if you don't have staff, you can always ask a friend to help.
Did corral a few friends
so
that I could flit around in the crowd and make sure everything was going properly.
Holiday recipes for
entertaining.
Entertaining, yes. This is KHOY. This is Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Today we're talking about recipes, looking forward to those gatherings. And if you have a gathering, maybe a thing you might want to consider is chocolate. Go ahead. We're thinking about chocolate and chocolate. And Donna, tell us more about chocolate.
Well, we're thinking now we are about to eat a chocolate souffle.
Oh.
Of course, it's not souffled at the moment. It's a fallen chocolate souffle. So it's more like a, it came out kind of like a flourless chocolate cake, which, although there's a little flour in it, I like it.
Well, it isn't what. So, what's the difference between a flourless chocolate cake and a souffle? Kind of the same idea, right?
This actually has 2 tablespoons of flour in it.
Okay.
But the I like this recipe a lot. I used to make it when I had all my Hollywood clients, who of course want, you know, the full eating experience with no calories. So, this wonderful cookbook writer, Alice Medridge, in our national obsession of the low fat, no fat period. She is a great dessert cookbook writer, actually. So she wrote this one. So she took all of her traditional recipes and reduced the calories significantly. I'm licking my fingers with it. So this recipe is over a double boiler, you mix 5 teaspoons of – oh, well, first you have to get the little cups out and you spray them. You know, like ramekins, basically. You spray
ramekins. They're little teeny tiny little
like custard
bowls.
Cup kind of things, because these are individual portions. And you spray them. I frankly just used an olive oil spray because you don't taste it very much. And then I put a very fine sugar around the inside to coat them. So you just set that up and then you put them all in a baking tray.
Oh, that's a good idea. Put not only oil or grease the inside of the pan, but sugar
a little bit. Right.
Oh, good idea. Oh, and that also makes kind of a nice little sparkly edge to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, it's so good. I'm shocked. I've been made these for about 5 years and maybe more.
Well, it's a good thing we got out the old recipe book again, huh?
Well, I was wondering if she gives calories in here. Yes, calories per serving, 127. Fat, 2.6 grams. Protein, 4.3 grams. Not bad. So anyway, you over the double boiler, then you mix the cup of powdered sugar, a half a cup of unsweetened Dutch processed cocoa. Now, I have to say, I used a really good one, a fair traded organic one, and I put a little more than they said in there because I wanted it to be really chocolatey. So if they called for half a cup, I probably put maybe an extra tablespoon or something. And then you put in 2 tablespoons of flour, and then you put a half a cup of low-fat milk and half a cup of water. And then you kind of whisk that till it thickens. It takes about 10 minutes while you're doing other things over the double boiler. Now, I, of course, don't even own a double boiler. I just take a pan, like a small stock pot, and put my stainless steel bowl over it, you know, mm-hmm. with the water not touching the bottom of the bowl. Okay, that's always what you have to do. Then you mix with your beater. Oh, I also put in something else you didn't put in. I put a little bit of that canela cinnamon, not the regular cinnamon, but the soft stick cinnamon. Gives it a kind of a fruitier depth of flavor. I can't leave anything without adding more flavor. So I did put that into the chocolate and some vanilla powder, I believe. You could also use vanilla extract. Then in a separate bowl, you whip 4 egg whites with a little bit of cream of tartar and 3 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon, it's a little picky, of sugar. So you just beat those all up until they're really nice and fluffy. And then then when the chocolate mixture in the double boiler is thickened, you know, you've got a whisk in there and you're whisking it around and it gets quite thick. Then you take it off the heat and you mix in 2 of the egg yolks.
Wait, okay. The egg yolks are separate. They have
right. You've separated them because you've whipped the four whites. Oh. That leaves two extra egg yolks, which I just ate.
Okay, here we have a question. Because you have this hot chocolate mixture, do you have to let it cool down a little bit? Because if you add the egg yolks right away, don't they like cook or get stringy?
You have to whisk while you're doing it. Okay. And yes, you've taken it off the off the heat. So you're not doing it over the double boiler anymore.
Okay, this is off. And so the quickly put in two of the egg yolks. Mm-hmm. Got it?
It really is very brownie-like, isn't it? It's amazing that it has so little fat in it. So then you fold in the whites into the chocolate mixture. And I don't think you do anything else. No, then you just put them into the souffle cups. And you stick them in the oven at 350 for about 15 minutes.
Oh, yes. Fold in the whites. I have, from a recipe that I remember a long time, I think it was for a flourless chocolate cake.
Very similar.
It had a great line. It said, again, do things separately. The whites are over here and the chocolate's over here and everything goes together. And in bold type, it said, if you have a large spatula, use it now.
Yes.
And folding in egg whites you have to do it dramatically. And you have to do it, you're lifting and you don't want to squish the air out of the egg whites.
No, you're folding
them. Lift and lift.
In circular motions.
It's one of those techniques that you learn. And it's fun to do.
It's actually quite simple.
Easy to turn in. There.
What do you think of the texture?
It's wonderful. It's looser than a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Something to eat with a spoon. It's very pretty.
If you want to gild a lily, obviously you could put whipped cream on it. Or a flavored whipped cream, like a rum-flavored whipped cream. Or a bourbon-flavored whipped cream.
Or ice cream. Or pudding. Next week. And it is called what?
It's called a chocolate souffle. But, we're not eating it right out of the oven because, of course, it falls. Soufflés always fall. But when you're doing it on purpose, you don't mind. Now, if you really want to serve it as a soufflé, since it only takes 15 minutes to cook, you can, like if you're doing a dinner party, for example, you can prepare the batter in advance and chill it. And then when it's time for the and if you have your souffle cups ready, you take it out of the fridge, you put it into the cups, you put it in the oven, and you cook it maybe 3 minutes longer than if it were at room temperature.
Because you're dealing with the cold
batter.
And
then you serve it right out of the oven.
Give us the name of the cookbook and the name of the author again.
It's Alice Medrich, M-E-D-R-I-C-H, and it's called Chocolate and the Art of Low-Fat Desserts. And there are a lot of other things. It's a very good book. I think it won a James Beard Award, it was a few years ago, but it's well worth having the cookbook.
Well, that was a little bit of wit and wisdom from Donna about chocolate souffles. My chocolate souffles always end up sort of looking like flourless chocolate cakes, but they're all
good. That's good.
That's great. So that's
That
is another thought for if you're doing a fine dinner, yes.
Makes me want to do just the classic cheese souffle. That would make a nice winter's evening small dinner party. You can only do the souffle when everyone is like sitting at the table ready and waiting, which doesn't happen very often anymore. But
You could gather them up in front of the football TV. They're there. Okay, now the souffle is ready. Maybe they'd come to the table.
I'm sorry. I would not want my souffle to be second fiddle to a football game.
I know. That's how I feel, too. There we go. I think that's the proper attitude to have.
If I'm going to make a souffle, it's going to be the focus of attention.
You heard it first here on the Donna Lana Kitchen, so heads up, folks. Yes, sirree. So, there's a lot of other things. We mentioned We mentioned a spicy fruitcake recipe on the Donalana Kitchen, and we're talking about holiday recipes on the Donalana Kitchen recipe page. I would like to remind you that there's a pfeffernusse cookie recipe
there. Which Lana is really good at.
Now, that's one I can make. And that
they
is another thing that is good to make ahead, because somehow they're good to, they kind of set for a while, especially in one of those cool places that where the same place that you have your fruitcake soaking in rum. Those pfeffernusse are a sit on the shelf and have later kind of cookie. They kind of get kind of crunchy and the kind of way that I like them. So that recipe is there. Also, the sauerkraut Munster tart recipe is newly placed by our fine volunteer, Gio Chilatze, who takes care of what our web page looks like, and he updates it every now and then. A couple weeks ago, I brought a recipe from Christine Ferber's book on tarts. Made Tarts by Christine Ferber, and there was a sauerkraut Munster tart in there. Yes, sauerkraut and cheese. Trust me.
Because she's Alsatian,
good.
So that's the German-French part of France.
Yes.
And so sauerkraut Munster cheese tart, of course. It was fabulous, Lana.
And that recipe is on the website. There's a crust recipe and the tart recipe, or the filling recipe. The crust recipe is really, really rich. If you want to kind of back off on all the butter she asks for, you can do that. But if you really want to, like Donna said, this is butter.
These are butter holidays.
Butter
absolutely.
Holidays. What a perfect, perfect thing. Yes. Cheese souffle. Oh, that does sound good. Yes, it does.
Yeah, we're getting a little cheesy here,
ha.
Aren't we?
You're listening to KHOI, and this is the Donalana Kitchen. The Donalana Kitchen comes to you once a week here, and on this fine community radio station, you too can be a part of this radio station. We are all made up of volunteers here. Support this radio station by becoming a member. Go to khoifm.org, and you can donate there. You can find out more. And if you don't like what's on the radio, you can come on in and make your own darn show. Yes, you can. That's what we did. And people volunteer here and come in and talk about what they are passionate about. And we like to listen to each other. That's what community radio is all about. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. That was a lovely English country dance tune called Jig for Jenny by a band that plays a lot of nice, good dance music. And the band is called Bare Necessities. They've been at it for a long time. I bring that up because dancing is a holiday thing, too. This is English country dance music, and the tradition of getting together and dancing in small rooms or ballrooms or whatever. And just think of the Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. One of my favorite parts of the Christmas Carol is the flashback to Scrooge's past where he goes to the home of the Fezziwigs. The Fezziwigs are having an English country dance party, and they talk about all the joy and the fun and the flashing feet of Mr. Fezziwig, who may be a little portly but could dance up a storm. Yeah, so that's an English
country. Was there traditionally alcohol involved in these events?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Actually, even in the story, it mentions that they kept the fiddler in the corner, well supplied. The only lull in the music was when he would stop.
To take a drink.
And then he would launch in again, and everybody would dance to way past midnight. Oh, what a nice holiday tradition. Traditions happen all the time. And my friend Megan Filbert from PFI, I got a fine idea for a holiday recipe from her. And she didn't really have a name for it. She just sort of brought this and said, here, this is what I made. And I think we decided to call it crock pot pie because what it is all the ingredients for a fruit pie, but you don't need a crust. You just need to cut everything up and put it in a crock pot, turn it on for a couple of hours until the fruit is cooked, and include things like apple slices, and she put in some cranberries, and of course lots of cinnamon and sugar and nutmeg. And a little flour to thicken it up a little bit.
Probably some butter.
Oh, I would too. And maybe at the end you could even toss in some rum or something. That wouldn't be bad. But here it is. You get this nice, warm fruit thing to put on. You can put it on ice cream or put it on a cake or whatever. But there it is. And it smells like you're baking a pie. Matter of fact, it's kind of like crockpot pie / holiday potpourri all at the same time because your kitchen will smell like it. So that's an idea. Even if you're not a pie baker, you can warm up the fruit and cook the fruit. So
sounds like it would
apple.
Be good on oatmeal the next morning.
There you go. It'd be kind of warm and creamy and buttery. And, oh, what a good thing. What a good thing. So crockpot pie. That's a good thing. Another thing that I ran across for this holiday, and I made this instead of a pumpkin pie. I made a sweet potato pie, and it was a sweet potato pie with a macaroon crust. And I got this recipe from the Ames Tribune, Wednesday, November 14th. This year, you can go to their taste page, Wednesday, November 14th. Occasionally, they have a recipe there and a nice little picture. So here's your sweet potato pie, and it has a coconut crust. The coconut crust, 1 cup sliced almonds, 1/2 cup shredded sweetened coconut, 4 tablespoons butter melted, and a quarter teaspoon fine sea salt. That makes the crust. And the filling is sweet potatoes.
But you're supposed to put all that in the food processor, right? And then
You can.
And then press it in the way you do a cookie crust kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to roll.
No, you don't have to roll. You end up with this ground up stuff that you press into the edges. There you go. Yeah. And the filling is sweet potatoes. And instead of condensed milk or cream, it calls for 3/4 cup canned coconut milk. Huh? So
do you have a little Asian influence here?
It wasn't Asian-y, really, because it still has a little ginger and cinnamon in it. But
those are Asian too, Lana.
That's true. But it didn't taste like pud thai or anything. No. It was very light tasting. Very light tasting. And the crust was quite nice. Quite nice.
That sounds delicious.
Do you have any other thoughts for make ahead?
Well, we were talking about what's on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show recipes. And we do have one thing there that I think is a very easy, gifty idea. Honey butters, which basically you're letting your butter come to room temperature and you're mashing it with, this is why it's good. You just get a bunch of rather small canning jars. That's, you know, and line them up, clean them up, ready to go. That's what makes them gifty. And this is another good thing children can, you know, because it's always nice to make the children or the grandchildren have a homemade gift to give to da-da-da-da-da, Auntie so-and-so, and da-da-da-da-da, right? But this is one that's really easy. So you just have the butter sitting out at room temperature, fairly soft, and then you mix in, I have the recipe on the way, I've forgotten what the proportions are, but basically it's honey and butter, and then you want to season it so you can just do cinnamon if you want, or you could do two kinds of cinnamon, like Ceylon cinnamon and Vietnamese cinnamon, so you get your more depth of flavor. Or I think I did another one, and then I think I put a little vanilla in the cinnamon one, vanilla extract. And then I also had another flavor. What was it? I think I used orange extract and cardamom and maybe a dash of black pepper. But you can, you know, you can, you could make a ginger, one. And I would use little bits of crystallized ginger maybe in that, or ginger cinnamon. I mean, you can get creative there. And the idea is that then you have this little jar that you can tie a ribbon around and make a fancy label for. And it makes a nice little gift that's good just spread on toast or, oatmeal or, you know, whatever they want to do with it. It's honey butter, for goodness sake. In fact, I remember these things from my childhood and I hadn't seen them for a while. And then I noticed in the grocery store, in the refrigeration department, I think it was Wheatsfield, they're actually selling honey butter again.
Really?
Yeah. Lo and behold, what goes around, you know, 50 years later, it's back in fashion again. So somebody's made a product out of it. But it's awfully easy to make your own. Just use a good quality. I tend to use actually a slightly salted butter.
Mm.
I think it ramps the flavor
and
up a little bit.
And you don't melt the butter because you don't want the
No. You just want it at room temperature so it's mashable. Yeah, so if you're going to soften your butter in the microwave, be very careful. Because once it melts, you're beyond the point of return there.
So, that's right. It turns into a whole new existence.
But yes.
That's a whole other...
It's a puddle of oil at that point. But it is something,
nice
like, even if you get the electric hand mixer out and stand the child on the chair with the apron tied around under their arms and let them have at it. You know, there's not a lot of mistakes that can be made with
it. That's true. And you can get 8 ounce jars are canning jars are kind of the usual jelly jar size, but they make 4 ounces.
Yeah, the four ounces is a really good gifty size.
Just about right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to intimidate your folks, giving them too much, of course. Also, it's nice to remember that gatherings are not always about the big meal or the big spread. Sometimes it's nice to have something on the kitchen counter or in the refrigerator for, like, breakfast when people get up at odd times. Like you said, a little bit of toast with
right.
some honey butter.
And also, I like to do this. I make in advance some present that I can, like, a little jar for the postman, another, you know, just people that you want to appreciate in your life. And it's not like a personal gift. Everybody can eat honey and butter pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that. This is a particularly easy one because you can have them prepared in advance and, you know, ready to hand out.
That's true. It's not as much of a commitment as like a whole fruitcake. I mean,
heavens,
no. Actually, everybody likes fruitcake. Well, almost everybody likes fruitcake. If you cut it up and it's served, if you give somebody a whole lump, like those kind that you buy, oh, boy, people don't quite know what to do with that. But
yeah, most of them use them. That's the doorstopper joke,
right?
Oh,
that's the joke.
Yeah.
My response is put on the teapot, make a cup of coffee.
Right.
And
I
enjoy
only give fruitcake to people that I know love fruitcake, all right? Because why waste such a glorious thing on someone who has an attitude about it?
We cannot have that. So we hope that the Donalana Kitchen gives you some important information here about all these things.
Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Out and do some homemade Christmas-making gifts.
Homemade stuff, because the season is coming up upon us, and we do have some coming ups of things that, yeah, we have some things coming up. And I saw this. I've been seeing this being advertised. Holiday concerts and holiday this and that's here. And there's something going on. The Central Iowa Symphony is going to do something on December 1st that I think is worth a mention here. Yeah. It's not exactly your idea of a classic symphony, but this night at the symphony will be a little bit humorous in vain. And instead, they have some guest performers, and they're going to join them for something called Sir Malcolm Arnold's musical spoof called A Grand, Grand Overture, along with other things on the program. This overture includes three vacuums and a floor polisher. Huh? Pretty good. Now, you realize these things make noise, too, and I'm sure creative composers will come up with something to go with three vacuums and a floor polisher. And I bring this up because local people have been shanghaied into helping them along here. Janet Alcorn, Reggie Greenlaw, KHOI's own Carol Horowitz, and Valerie Williams will play the vacuums and a floor polisher as part of the performance. I think that's worth a lot. That's just worth showing up for.
This is December 1st?
December 1st.
At the City Auditorium, is that where they usually play?
I believe so. It is. More information at www.cisymphony.org, Central Iowa Symphony.org. Yes.
They're usually 7:30. Pretty good.
Yeah, with Maestro Eric McIntyre. They'll actually have a little talk beginning at 6:45 at the Ames City Auditorium about, well, the fun stuff of music. And we can enjoy the fun stuff. You don't always have to be quite so highbrow. You can kind of yuck it up a little bit, too. So enjoy a good smile, a good holiday get-together with the Central Iowa Symphony, with their vacuums and floor polishers, on December 1st, that is this Saturday. And also, I want to mention, of course, this is Ames, and Ames always has a production of the Nutcracker, a big to-do. The Nutcracker starts the next Saturday, December 8th. Now, we got 8th, Nutcracker, nuts. That's a food thing. We bring that up here. So you got your Sugar Plum Fairy, you got your divertissements, you got Clara and her hallucinogenic dreams. And, it's quite a thing. It's quite a lot of local dancers in that. It's a tradition that is at the Stevens Auditorium.
At the Downtown Methodist Church is the Farm to Folk Open House. So I know we've mentioned it before that in in Ames you are able to order year round once a week fresh local greens, fresh cheeses, local meats. Chickens and eggs and things like that. So this is Farm to Folk. They are having an open house from 4 to 6 today. So they will welcome you to see what kind of vendors we have and to how to join.
Yeah.
Hope to see you there.
4 to 6 at the Methodist Church.
Today.
You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for lending us your ears. Today we've been talking about holiday recipes so you can kind of slide into the holidays. Be prepared. Make a little something and put it in that cool place in your kitchen and bring it out as needed. We had music today by Bare Necessities in the English country dance tradition. Listen to the Donalana Kitchen Show every Tuesday at noon here on this fine station, or go to khoifm.org. You can stream, you can download, you can add us to your device. Find out much more about fine listening on this very station at that same address. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.